Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Oh, yeah. Tell me something. I think you understand. When I say that something, I want to hold your hand.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Next year marks the 50th anniversary of the Beatles' first appearance on The Ed Sullivan Show, an occasion that will be commemorated on February 9th with a special televised concert on CBS. But right before Beatlemania took hold in the States in early 1964, the band released this song, I Want to Hold Your Hand. Alan Kozen, author of a new e-book called Got That Something, argues that it was this song that changed everything. And he joins me here in the studio to talk about it. Alan Kozen, welcome back to Soundcheck.
Thank you, John.
So what is it about this song that makes it such a watershed moment in the career of the Beatles?
Well, it was this song, really, that Capitol agreed to release. I mean,
In the States.
The Beatles had been recording for EMI, which, in fact, owned Capitol Records. But Capitol's attitude towards EMI product, as they would put it, was such that since they had first refusal, it was something that they
chose to refuse.
And, well, they refused absolutely almost everything that EMI sent them.
On what basis? That it was like provincially British stuff and Americans wouldn't like it?
Well, that was their that was the reason they gave. I mean, it may also have had to do with simply not wanting to have to take what the parent company sent them. When they finally did put out an EMI recording, not by the Beatles, a bit before the Beatles, they chose some strange middle-aged lady playing piano and singing and were able to say, you see, it wasn't a hit here. But of course it wasn't going to be a hit here.
So at this point, I mean, I Want to Hold Your Hand is officially released at the end of November of 1963.
In England. Right.
In the United States, were people, despite what Capitol was doing or not doing, were people already getting a hint of what was going on that side of the Atlantic?
Well, a little. I mean, the thing is that because Capitol had the right of first refusal, there was a deal that could be made with smaller record companies. And so Please Please Me and For Me to You came out on a little label called VJ. And She Loves You came out on a little label called Swan. And the problem is that these labels had no clout whatsoever. And while those records charted locally here and there, I mean, I think For Me to You was a minor hit in the L.A. area. The fact is most people didn't know what was going on until Walter Cronkite and David Brinkley each had a brief report in November around the time that I Want to Hold Your Hand was going to be released. The Cronkite report was actually shown the morning of November 22nd and then got preempted by the events of the rest of the day. And
the assassination,
yeah. Yeah, then he showed it on December 10th, finally.
So for folks who were paying attention, there were rumblings here and there. There were, as you say, these small label releases, which is amazing to think that the Beatles were being released on VJ Records.
That's right.
But that is, in fact, where Americans first had the opportunity to hear the Beatles and songs like this one called From Me to You.
If there's anything that you want, if there's anything I can do, just call on me and I'll send it along with love from me to you. I got everything that you want, like a heart that's oh so true. Just call on me and I'll send it along with love from me to you. I got arms that long to hold you and keep you by my side. I got lips that long to kiss you and keep you satisfied. If there's anything that you want, if there's anything I can
do. The Beatles, From Me to You, released in this country on a small label called VJ Records, as Alan Kozen of the New York Times was just telling us, didn't have a whole lot of clout or distribution, so it was not the hit that we might expect in retrospect from a Beatles song in the States. Alan Cozen's new ebook is called Got That Something, How the Beatles' I Wanna Hold Your Hand Changed Everything. Because, Alan, as you say, this was the song that really breaks them here in the States. Why was that so important to the Beatles, or maybe to their manager, Brian Epstein?
And George Martin, their producer, they just did not want to come to the United States and fail. Cliff Richards, who was the sort of big British star before them, sort of the British Elvis, came here and really tanked. And, you know, they didn't want that to happen because, after all, I mean, their story up to this point was one of success after success after success in England and in Europe. They didn't want to come here and have that end. They wanted to be big here too.
So at the point when I Want to Hold Your Hand is being readied for market, at least in the UK, had they already been in contact with the Ed Sullivan Show about, you know, doing the February 64?
Brian Epstein came here to New York on November 5th, which was the day after they played the Royal Command Variety performance in England. He got on a plane. He met with Ed Sullivan here and arranged for the first Sullivan Show performances. He had already been in contact with a guy named Sid Bernstein, who died just this summer, who was a concert promoter who had been reading in the British press about the success they were having and said, we should have them, and I should be the one to present them. And he really was sort of the first American concert presenter to latch on to that. So he had arranged with Brian for them to come and play Carnegie Hall. So
two nights, right?
Well, it was one night, two shows.
Two shows. And the Beatles said, thanks, but no thanks?
Well, the Beatles, of course, actually themselves wouldn't have had any dealings with it. It was all Brian. But Brian first said, let us put this provisionally onto the books. I can't bring them over if they're not getting airplay. And then while he was here to arrange the Sullivan shows and to do some other kind of business, Capitol decided that they would release I Want to Hold Your Hand After All. Hadn't quite been released yet in Britain, but they would have had an advance of it. They would have seen what was going on in England. I mean, after a while, you can't ignore that anymore. But the whole thing was just an incredible comedy because Capitol agreed with Epstein to put the stuff out at the end of November. He went back to England. December 4th, Capitol puts out a press release saying, we're going to bring Beatlemania to America in 1964, meaning a month later. They plan to release I Want to Hold Your Hand on January 13th. Meanwhile, Cronkite plays his clip on December 10th. A girl living in Maryland writes to a DJ in Washington, Carol James, and says, why can't we hear music like this? Carol James calls BOAC and says, can you get one of your stewardesses to bring me a copy of this, of their current record?
This is a great story. It's BOAC is now British Airways,
right,
by the way.
Yeah. So they bring him the record. He invites the girl to
the
come
studio,
on to
yeah.
his show. Mm-hmm. And she introduces the record, and they play it. The switchboard lights up. Everyone goes crazy. Now, this is December 17th, a week after Cronkite. Capitol Records, what do? They don't say, okay, we'll rush release this. They send a cease and desist order saying, stop playing it. And Carol James says, no, not only am I not going to stop playing it, he made a copy and sent it to a friend in Chicago who made a copy, a friend who was a DJ, who sent it to a DJ in St. Louis. And suddenly record stations, radio stations all over the country are playing this thing and everybody's going crazy. And Capitol finally had to bring it out on December 26th, 1963. And nothing screams, we've been forced to do this, like a record being released the day after Christmas.
The day after Christmas, yeah. But this was the sound that was on the airwaves that forced Capitol Records' hand.
Oh, please, say to me, let me be your man. Happy. inside. It's such a feeling that my love.
I want to hold your hand from the Beatles. As it turns out, there is so much to talk about with this song. Mm-hmm. Well, Alan, as you do in your ebook, Got That Something, How the Beatles' I Want to Hold Your Hand Changed Everything. But before we get too far from that clip, you tell the story of them meeting Bob Dylan and Dylan sort of bringing, you know,
his stash
of marijuana because he just assumed that the Beatles like to get high. Because he thought that line was, I get high, I get high, I get high.
Right.
I'm sitting here with my headphones on. I swear it still sounds like they're singing, I get high, mm-hmm. I get high.
Yeah.
It's, I can't hide.
Right. And the
allegedly.
Question is sort of, you know, what can't they hide and why? You know, that's the story that the Beatles always told. And I think people around Dylan have told it too. But the fact is, I mean, that was supposed to have led to their first experiences with marijuana. But it turns out Lennon and Harrison later said that they had smoked in 1960.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's a good story, but it's only partly true.
Alan Kozin's ebook is called Got That Something, How the Beatles' I Want to Hold Your Hand Changed Everything. One thing it did not change, and this is a point you make early on in the ebook, is that Brian Epstein and the Beatles had cottoned on to the fact that pronouns were important, that the, you know, from me to you, I want to hold your hand, that you know, for an audience of screaming teenage girls, mm-hmm. that kind of direct connection was really important.
Right.
And this is more of the same, although...
Right. It was, you know, to the degree that the Beatles can be said to follow formulas, which they kind of made a point of trying not to do, that one formula was one thing that persisted from Love Me Do until this one, which was their fifth single. I think they realized, however, I mean, after I Want to Hold Your Hand came out and they cracked the States and they were huge here and they were huge in Paris right before they came here. And they realized in Paris, particularly before they got here, that their audience was more male than female. So that was a different thing for them. And then they came here and their audience was everybody. They began to think, I think, that we don't really have to do this singing directly to the girls anymore. So if you look at their sixth single, which they actually started recording in Paris, was Can't Buy Me Love. And you could say, well, there is a me in there, but Can't Buy Me Love is a fundamentally different kind of song. It's really a more mature song. It's about, you know, love versus money and material stuff. And I think that, you know, from I Want to Hold Your Hand in a way was the end of these I'm singing to the girls songs. You know, after that, there were love songs, of course, but
right.
it was a different kind of thing.
So I Want to Hold Your Hand is the end of the beginning.
That's right.
But so you, for you, Can't Buy Me Love is the start of a kind of new brand of songwriting.
Sort of a more mature period. And you look at the back of that single, You Can't Do That, which is, you know, sheer, almost violent jealousy. They could not have put that song out a year earlier.
Let's hear a little bit of Can't Buy Me Love from the Beatles.
Can't buy me love.
The Beatles, Can't Buy Me Love. If, as Alan Kozin has been positing in his ebook called Got That Something, and here in our studio on Soundcheck today, if I Want to Hold Your Hand was a kind of landmark, you know, a big change, this is the song that changed everything, then Can't Buy Me Love is the first of the new breed of the Beatles. They're still singing. It's still the direct pronouns, you know, tell me that you don't want the kind of things that money just...
That's true.
What's different in the kind of the songwriting collaboration and perhaps in the technology? How is that sort of pre and post I Want to Hold Your Hand?
Yeah, the songwriting, actually, I Want to Hold Your Hand was also the last of the songs that John and Paul sat down and wrote to be a single together. They collaborated later on, but it was really more a question of, okay, I've got a song started and I've only got a couple of verses. You want to do it? Or, you know, it's time to do an album. We've got 12 tracks. We need 14. Let's cobble something together. This and For Me to You and She Loves You were examples of them sitting down and saying, okay, we must write the next hit. And that ended with I Want to Hold Your Hand. Then it became really a competition for who's going to get on the A side and who's going to get the B side. Mm-hmm. Technologically, it was sort of interesting because in technologically, I Want to Hold Your Hand was the beginning of the rest of their career. It was the first time they used four-track. Until then, George Martin had been using two-track recording. And you have to understand, first of all, that EMI's two-track equipment did not – it wasn't like your two-track recorder at home where you could record one track and then do the vocal on the other track. You could record the two tracks together and not separately. So if you wanted to overdub, what you would have to do is take that two-track tape, copy it to another tape while adding another your extra stuff along
right.
the way.
A technique called bouncing. And every time you bounce a tape, you
lose quality.
Right,
you
add tape hiss. So by moving to a four-track machine, it allows, and you write about this in the ebook, that it allows all those small, subtle, but telling touches, the hand claps, a doubling of just one note in the chorus and things like that.
Yeah. Now, before that, I mean, they added hand claps. I saw her standing there, for instance. The basic take doesn't have hand claps because they were busy playing their instruments. And it was worth George Martin's while to lose a tape generation to add the hand claps, he felt. But with four-track, you had a track free. This was the track layout for this song. On the first track, you have the basic rhythm of the group. You've got that's bass, John Lennon's guitar, Ringo's drums, plus George Martin's putting it through compression. So his guitar sounds almost like an organ at times. It's like doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. The second track, George Harrison's lead guitar, just.
Okay.
Third track, all the vocals, harmony and lead. And then the fourth track they had completely free. Now, they could have, with this, also done a bouncing down thing, too. But keep in mind, you know, this is going to be a hit single, and they're a four-piece band. They have to go out and play live, so they weren't messing around too much.
Right.
So what they did on the fourth track was the hand claps. The octave leap, I Want to Hold Your Hands,
right.
up to a falsetto. Just that one falsetto note is doubled. Now, if you listen to the track that just has the vocals, it's a fine performance. It's perfectly strong. You didn't need to double it. But hearing that they did double it kind of gives you some insight into what was important to them in making the production.
And another funny thing about having all the vocals on that third track was it was possible to take that third track out and slot in a new third track.
In German.
In German, which the Beatles did not want to do,
no.
but were somehow cajoled into doing with the following results.
Oh, come on, come to me. Do next me the best time. Oh, come on, come to me. Come give me that.
Come Gib Mir Deine Hand, the German version of I Want to Hold Your Hand, by the Beatles, the absolute same rhythm tracks, lead guitar tracks, just the vocal track different.
Right.
Alan Kozin, music critic at the New York Times and Beatles historian, is with us on Soundcheck. His new ebook is called Got That Something, How the Beatles' I Want to Hold Your Hand Changed Everything. Was it the song, though, or was it just the right time? Because it seems like something was in the air anyway.
Oh, something was in the air, and I think it was the right time. It also, I think, happened to be the right song. But if the timing was such that it would have been She Loves You, it would have been just as crazy a time. Because after all, I mean, She Loves You, even though from the Beatles' point of view was old news and from British point of view was old news, once all those things started turning up here, I mean, I'm sure you remember people were saying, yeah, 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 you know, which is the chorus of She Loves You, just as much as is, you know, I Want to Hold Your Hand. And So She Loves You was huge, too. I mean, basically, VJ and Swan.
The small record labels.
The small labels that hadn't had hits with these things immediately reissued them. Capitol then sued them, and you know, as labels do. But, you know, all those records suddenly were everywhere.
Yeah. Now, the Beatles seem to have felt a little ambiguous about their huge hit, I Want to Hold Your Hand, because they would drop it, they would drop it from a set at the first sign of needing to cut things.
Yeah, that's my impression. You know, I mean, just looking at their set lists and at the, you know, on the 64 summer tour, a lot of those shows were recorded by radio stations or broadcast. And whenever one song was dropped, it was always I Want to Hold Your Hand.
What do you read into that?
What I read into it is, you know, we were just talking a few minutes ago about how that was the last of the songs from that old style where they're singing directly to the young girls. I have a feeling that they had outgrown that at this point. And then running into Dylan and having him think it was about something else, it just kind of reinforced for them that, like, this isn't where we're going now. This is where we were. So they played it through the summer 64 tour of North America. I mean, it was one of their big hits. They couldn't not do it. But at the end of that tour, they dropped it. They never played it again. And if you look at Paul McCartney out there touring to this very moment, and constantly reviving old Beatles songs, even going back as far as Love Me Do, he has never done I Want to Hold Your Hand.
So, wow.
Yeah.
Well, the ebook is called Got That Something, How the Beatles' I Wanna Hold Your Hand Changed Everything, including perhaps the Beatles' own impressions of their own music. Alan Kozin is the author, and he's been with us on Soundcheck. Alan, good to see you again.
Good to see you, John.
Ooh, yeah, I tell you something. Yeah.